All right, welcome to In Plain Sight. Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please, please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate. Send the fundage. Your check and money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Dial in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. Crockett, I want the red pillar in my office. The heavyweight champion.
I must break you.
Standing well over 6'4", weighing well over 245.24 pounds of red pilling bronze, with a right hook that would drop an elephant, William Repellum.
Wow. Thanks, Jeremy. I'm going to have to try that now. Dropping an elephant. Yeah.
But you've got the red pillar.
I wouldn't want you to be exaggerating or anything.
You've got the right hook of red pillar truth, my friend.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I couldn't help but notice that little debate you had with the Jew and Richard Carey show a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, that was kind of monumental. You know, I don't think I've had that happen before since I've been on RBN. We should play it back, maybe. I thought it was interesting enough.
You did welcome, you know, dissident callers, specifically Jewish dissident callers, and he took the challenge, and it was a KO, man.
Well, you know, I'd like him to call back. You know, I think we had an interesting exchange. I would definitely like him to call back and explain more, you know. But there were some things that were kind of disturbing, you know, about the whole thing, like about Jesus being a satanic magician who, and we're following a satanic magician. God's laughing at me. God's laughing at us. And, you know, listen, I would, you know, I'm talking about what happened here. Not trying to, you know, be mean or to people or anything like that. but it's you know, it's really interesting. You have, and I don't know who this guy is, but he said he was an Orthodox Jew, not a a Chabad Lub or Chabad, excuse me, pronounce it Chabad, a Lubavitcher. I asked him about Mendelssohn Schneerson. I brought up the Holocaust being, you know, a fraud, and, you know, I mean, he just said it happened, but I mean, he didn't get too upset over all of that, you know. But at the end of it, it started off a very amicable discussion, but the more we went into it, the more it kind of got heated, and I didn't get upset or anything. It just wanted to hear what he had to say, and I was trying to get him to answer the one question was, you know, because he was saying that it was disgusting, these Bolshevik Jews and all this LGBTQ stuff, and, you know, what happened in Bolshevism, that's all disgusting, and that Zionism was started by atheists, which I'm not sure about that. I kind of agreed, like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, that's probably true. But quite honestly, isn't Zionism a religious movement? I mean, Jewish religious movement, if you can call it a religion. I don't really think Judaism is a religion. It's more like what I think Alfred Schaeffer says. It's an operating system the world's running on, and it's actually you can call it a religion. It's a religion that is being forced upon everyone in the world right now, without their knowledge. You know, like. Yep. Certain tenets like abortion, that's been forced upon the world.
It's it's an ethnocentric movement, I would call it, because so many people that say they're Jews, they identify genetically, and some of them might be Orthodox, some of them might be atheists, some of them might be, you know, moderate or, you know, non-Orthodox. And, you know, there's a variation there, but I think what they all agree on, and when you push them in a corner, like you push this guy to the ropes, he was trying to say that the Talmud was interpreted wrong, and there's different interpretations of it, but he pretty much told all of us what they think of Jesus Christ. And that's something that the Christian Zionists should take note of, that if you're a Christian Zionist and you support these people that call themselves Jews, I mean, they think that Jesus was a fraud, regardless of what strata that they're in.
Yeah, that's exactly the crux of the matter. And it's why, I got really frustrated before he called talking about Christian Zionism on Monday night. I'm really frustrated. I'm calling them stupid and everything, because it is stupid. You know, it's ridiculous. I can't believe that the Christians would say that the Jews are God's chosen people when the way they refer to Jesus, and then this Jew called in and he was saying that the world exists based on the merits of Jews doing Talmud studies. So
right, and you pointed out things in the Talmud, you know, that were pretty gross. You know, the pedophilia, the going being animals and deserving to be slaughtered, even the best of them. And he had explanations for that, but when pushed to the ropes, you know, he put out what he really believed. And I think, and so you think about someone like Kevin McDonald, who is an atheist. And of course, I don't agree with his atheism, but his scientific studies, you know, I can compartmentalize, and, he points out that they behave ethnically as a group. There's a group behavior to be noted there, regardless of what their religion might be. And I think that's really the crux of Jewish power, is the ethnocentricity. Ethnocentricity, rather, is probably the word. You know, in that it doesn't matter what they believe. There's a common core that they want to do what's best for their tribe.
Right.
And they've convinced white people in specific that we cannot do what's best for us, white Europeans, because that would be horrible. That would be Hitler and racism. That's why the Holocaust is such a central hinge point of their argument, because they can always go back to that. Why can't white people organize politically? Well, because of the Holocaust. If you do, it leads to a Jewish Holocaust. So it really is the crux of the matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what better way to silence everyone to say that it's going to lead to something that never happened in the first place, right? Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely true that when people finally realize what's going to happen, people are going to be extremely angry, and they're going to need to take measures to protect themselves from this genocidal race of people that have committed massive amounts of Holocaust. They don't want people to find that out. I don't know what that will lead to. But, you know, at the end of it, he ended up getting really upset, telling me to, I asked him, okay, so what are we supposed to do? The first question was, okay, please differentiate between the, you know, the Jews that you consider to be disgusting, the ones who did Bolshevism, the ones that are putting LGBTQ, forcing that on everybody, and everything else, all the degeneracy and whatnot. Okay, so what is the difference between them? And then show me who are the religious Jews that aren't like that, that are you know, different, that are doing good for the rest of humanity, and what good are they doing? And then that's when he brought up the world exists only on the basis of the merits of Talmud studies. So okay, and then he went on to, I go, so what are we supposed to do as non-Jews? Well, he says, you're supposed to be a man and stop blaming everybody else. Okay, so sure, well, there's some truth to that, right? There is some truth to that, but you And he was really upset that, you know, how can you say that the Goyim, or us, or the non-Jew Gentiles, what, I don't remember whether you, the term he used, but that we are not culpable, that we're acting like we're not culpable for our own actions for the reason. He kept out. He wanted to push the question, why did you allow yourselves to get subverted? Well, it's kind of like, that's the same question as like, hey, you know, the criminal is like, oh, I caught someone slipping, right? Somebody left their door unlocked. Well, there's truth to that. You don't want to be leaving your door unlocked. But then again, it's like you want to live in a high trust society where you don't have to lock your door. You don't want to have to be on guard from the Jew all the time, okay? So he wanted to lay the blame at the foot of the Goyim for allowing ourselves to get subverted. Now, there's some truth to that. After we came over to America from Europe, we forgot about our history with these people that have constantly been subverting us. So he ended up telling me to be a man. And I don't know, I didn't get a chance to find out what he meant by that. Tell me to be a man and shut up. And so then it was like, well, okay, there it is. He wants me to silence and stop. He just told me I was talking BS. And I didn't know what specifically he meant was BS. But it was a very interesting call. But I guess I'm probably going to have to put it up there at the number one most interesting call of my experience at RBN.
Well, there, you know, there is this, you know, Patrick Slattery's, his premise is we have to have an open discussion of this, because from his point of view, he does not want a backlash against the Jews. He does not want violence. So he wants an open discussion. That's his point of view. And I think that's what we bring on RBN. And, you know, we've had specifically one caller that called in the past, Josh from New York. There's a lot of callers from New York we have in RBN. There's a Joshua, but this particular caller was Josh. I haven't heard from him in a while, but he is an ethnic Jew, and he would call into our shows, Patrick and my show, and, you know, he agreed with us. He's like, I don't want a backlash against my people. I want an open discussion on this to prevent that. So, right. You know, there are people like that out there. Right. But, you know, in regards to whose responsibility is it, it is really, there's a hair to be split here, because, you know, in the early 20th century, Hollywood, you know, dominated by Jews, pushed forth movies and television shows that subverted Christian families in America. You can read this in a book called An Empire of Their Own by Neil Gabler, a Jew who brags about the Jewish domination of Hollywood. And it was pretty much accepted in the 20th century that they did dominate Hollywood. And it really, you could say that the responsibility was up to Christian fathers to get rid of the television in their homes, because you had, by the mid-20th century, a television in almost every home. And you had this subversion coming through the tubes, which eventually led to the sexual revolution and, you know, the women's lib, the decriminalization of homosexuality, the drug culture, the free love culture, the 65 Immigration Act. All of this was sort of a pinnacle and the turning point of the United States. And really, you could say that it was up to Christian men to stop that. But it was a subversion. It was a subversion. And naming who did the subverting, I think, is key here. And so I think the crux of your argument with that particular caller was, you know, who's responsible, and let's differentiate between the good and the bad Jews. Well, the good Jews tend to get into the argument, and they tend to, you know, if there's an argument, let's say, against the Iraq war, there were Jews that protested the Iraq war, but they did so because they didn't want the whole protest to turn anti-Semitic, so that you could say, well, look, here's good Jews protesting against this Iraq war, which is right, obviously led by neocon Jews. So therefore, let's not turn it into an anti-Semitic thing.
Right.
They act almost, you know, as Kevin McDonald states, they act, you know, as a group. for their best interest, and white people have been conditioned to not act like that, to be very altruistic.
Well, and okay, so
that's my best example.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. And so the altruism is sort of a characteristic of Jesus Christ, right? So the meme that he was purporting was that, you know, Jesus Christ was a satanic magician who went down to Egypt and learned he had to be a magician. And then he said, how can you compare Jesus walking on water for a couple of people to God parting the Red Sea for 600,000 people? And then he got real upset and started screaming that you're following a satanic magician and God's laughing at you. Okay. So I think that's a little bit of a stretch to say something like that, but I definitely think that, you know, so if Jesus was a satanic magician, then why was he teaching us about things like forgiveness and, you know, very powerful things in our lives that help, you know, help us to, evolve as human beings, you know? While the Jews are like, to never forgive anybody for anything, and they're constantly, not only don't ever forgive everybody, but have grudges against people, not only for things that they didn't do, but for what they did to them. I mean, this is like, I mean, how can you be so evil? You know, it's so, if Jesus was a satanic magician and he had all these beautiful qualities that human beings are really supposed to have, and we've gone beyond ever understanding that there's a group of people that are so anti that, that we can't even wrap our heads around it. And so we've been subverted. So I think that's, you know, I mean, that's, we can put the blame on that. I mean, big time. We also have to figure out where we're responsible.
Up on the first break, let's visit this on the other side and get on with more headlines.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the Ides of Rare Coin Dealers and Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Back to the William and Jeremy show on your Thursday night broadcast. We were just discussing the call that you had, William, with this person, Jim, in New York, that identified as Jewish. And he seemed to acknowledge Old Testament, but not the New, because he said that Jesus went to Egypt to learn sorcery. Well, Jesus was an infant. You know, and when you go to the New Testament account of this, Mary and Joseph were escaping the slaughter of the innocents in Bethlehem from Herod the Terrible. And so what these Jews have to understand is that there's prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 talks about the suffering servant. And Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40, interprets this, the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, as Jesus. Stephen preaches to the Ethiopian eunuch because the Ethiopian is reading Acts 53 and he's asking who these scriptures are talking about. And Philip preaches to him Jesus. Psalm 22.
Wait, he's reading Acts. You mean he's reading Isaiah 53?
In Acts 26, Ethiopian who is coming to Jerusalem to worship because he's converted to Judaism. Right, and he's reading Acts. In Acts 8, he's reading Isaiah 53, which talks about the suffering servant. Acts 53 is a prophecy of the Messiah who would suffer for his people. And so Philip, the deacon, evangelizes the eunuch and explains to him that in Acts 8 that Isaiah 53 is talking about Jesus. He preaches unto him Jesus. So this is the New Testament interpreting the Old. What I'm pointing out is that the Old Testament has prophecies of Jesus. And Isaiah 53 is one of them. Psalm 22 is another one talking about he was pierced in his hands and his feet. So Psalm 22 describes the crucifixion. It's a prophecy of Jesus. So this is all over the Old Testament. And this is something they don't want to acknowledge. But that aside, I think the overall point is that you backed this guy into the ropes, and this person who says he's a Jew openly acknowledged what they think of Jesus Christ, that he's a sorcerer.
And us, too.
And us, yeah. And
we're
so Christian Zionists would
be a man and pay our taxes, I guess.
Christian Zionists would do well to listen to that call and understand that if they support the secular state of Israel and Talmudic Judaism, that they're supporting people that believe Jesus is a magician that's burning in hell right now.
I don't mean to be a black pillar, but they wouldn't get past the part about the Jewish Holocaust didn't happen. They'd lose their stuff there before they even got any further.
And it's all relevant. It's important to today because, you know, Israel has its support. As Israel is genociding the Palestinians, who does it have its support from in America and the West? The Christian Zionists and the politicians who have been paid off by AIPAC and Jewish oligarchs, right? Who is not supporting the Israeli genocide? The leftists, the pro-child tranny, pro-homo marriage base of the Democrat Party. Because, why? Because they're not religious. They just see white people in Israel genociding brown people in Palestine. You see how this works?
Yeah.
They've completely subverted the religious Christian element of the U.S.
That's right, man. And that's exactly the problem we face as the white race. You know, we are really in peril because of this, supporting this genocide, because there's a huge number of our people are going along with that. And so then they can basically put a stamp right on our entire race. Say, we're just genocidal, just like we said you were. You know, you just commit genocide. You come over to America, you genocide the Indians. You go on wars and you genocide everybody. You know?
You see the irony here is that as horrible as the leftist base of the Democrat Party are, as horrible as they are, supporting trannyism and homo marriage and all that and immigration, they're not Christian. They're not religious. They can't be subverted in this matter. So this whole thing is turned on Jewish power, in that their own base is turning against them because they've drank the Kool-Aid of white genocide. And so they're seeing Israel as whites genociding brown Palestinian people, whereas Christian Zionists, who predominantly support the Trump base, are all for it. Hey, we're on the break. And we took too much time. We'll be back on the other side to hammer this out and take some calls.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Back to the William and Jeremy show. William and Jeremy on the loose, talking about Jewish power. And I think the point that I was just finishing up on, just to put a fine tip on this point, you know, is that the hardcore base of the left or the Democrat Party, they're not Christian. They don't buy into Christian Zionism. And they're actually pushing back against this genocide in Palestine. Whereas the Republican Party, which predominantly represents the Christian right and Christian Zionism, are totally for it, which is why Trump is sweeping so far this election in 24, and it looks like it's going to be Trump versus Biden or Trump versus whoever they're going to replace Biden with. But that having been said, if Christian Zionists could only hear that call that you had, William, with Jim, and hear how Jews really think of Christians, you know, surely they would reconsider, you would think. Kick it to you, William, and then I know we got a caller.
Yeah, man. I don't know what else to say about it, but yeah. I think Christian Zionists are being set up. I think the whole white race is being set up. And this Christian Zionism thing is the, what would you call it? It's like the powder keg. It's the powder keg. They're sticking right in the middle of us. And it's like, oh, hey, there's the supporters of genocide over there. You know, it's just let the left loose on the white race, because, you know, and then using this Christian Zionism thing as a, I just really hope that I just keep saying this, but I really hope that can, some of them can wake up, stop somehow. You know, you get the answer. Depictable answers are, oh, well, it's God's plan. There's nothing you could do about God's plan. It's like, man, read your Bible. Read your Bible. You're not doing that.
Well, yeah, God has a sovereignty who ordains things. He also ordains people to stand against evil. And we are ordained to stand against this evil as Christians. Right. So that's what we're doing. Yeah. Do you want to take a call, or do you have some more?
No, let's go. Let's jump.
I think we got George in Texas.
No, Doug in Texas.
Doug.
Oh, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Great show, guys. Hey, William. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Doug. Hey. Doug, I just learned that you're like the blacklisted news guy. Is that right?
No, I don't know what you're talking about there. No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay.
No. That's all right. All right. So cool. Great show, man. Thank goodness for RBN. They got me out of that whole crap of Christian Zionism years ago. I've been listening for more than a decade. But y'all were talking about, you know, this Jewish guy you had a conversation with. I didn't hear it, but what you said is like, okay, so he's disparaging Jesus Christ for being a magician. Well, wait a minute, man. You know, Hollywood cooked up magic shows and magicians and theater and all that stuff years and years, decades ago, right? We grew up watching David Copperfield, who's a Jew, do some of the most incredible magic shows ever on TV for the last 30 years. So is he going to disparage David Copperfield? Right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, they might say something like, you know, that we're not religiously worshiping David Copperfield, but what about the other things that Jesus taught? And that's the thing that we, you know, really needed to focus on. Well, I think his point about that makes it nullified. They don't want to do that. They want to keep practicing satanic practices. And then say Jesus was a satanic magician and say that, you know, all these wonderful things he taught us, like forgiveness and love your neighbor and, you know, I think the big thing is the forgiveness.
Sure.
Huge thing.
Sure.
They say forgiveness actually liberates you from your own, like, unhealthy kind of hatred you're keeping inside. It doesn't mean you forget what happened, but you forgive and you move on and you no longer hold on to that toxic
grudge.
Toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Jews have a toxic grudge that is just unbelievably satanic.
They do, bro.
It's not
they
even based
do.
On the truth.
That's right. I mean, I feel like I just watched a little bit of a magic show here with this fake president on TV doing a national press conference thing. But anyway, that's all I had to say, guys. Thanks.
Right on, Doug. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. Yeah. And again,
remember, Doug. Yeah.
Right. I was just going to say, just to reiterate, the crux of the call that you had with Jim in New York is that he was saying that Christians are beguiled by Jesus Christ, who was a magician, and that's why they don't. Any Christian that doesn't support Israel fully in their support of Palestinian genocide, it's because they're beguiled by a magician that they follow, and he's talking about Jesus. So that's where I think that's a very, very big red pill for Christian Zionists if they could hear that call, if all of them could hear that, because that's what Jews in general believe.
Yeah. You know, like, it's like the whole thing with them is don't debate. He's probably being reprimanded for debating with a goyim, right? And they say don't do that. They say don't ever do that because you'll have to deal with the truth. And if you have to deal with the truth, then you're going to lose. How do they get off that hamster wheel? Like, let's say there are some Jews that really want to get off the hamster wheel. They're stuck on that roller coaster. And, you know, because it's part of their culture, it's for their families, all part of it, right? What are they going to do? They have a lot to lose, right? They have this wealth, you know, stored up. Do they really want to do like what Jesus Christ did and bear the cross and have, you know, for us, I'd say it's less consequential, you know, in terms of our family members than it is for a Jew, you know, just sort of probably statistically speaking, you know, in most cases.
Well, and in just a bit of defense of them, you know, William and all the listeners that are Americans, you know, you and I and most American patriots for decades of our childhood into our early adulthood, we were brainwashed into this American exceptionalism. That what we were doing was correct and righteous, right? So in the same way, a lot of these younger generation Jews have been brainwashed that the Holocaust was true and that, you know, what the Jews do as a group is a righteous thing. And I think that's where Jim in New York was coming from. Right. In their a little bit in their defense. But we've got to break that with open conversation. We've got to get to the truth. Just like you and I got to the truth and so many people, we've got to bring these Jewish people to the truth. And I think that's when we'll have effectual change.
Right. And I just saw one of the comments on the show and got major props. A person said it was like the best show they've seen on RBN, but then kind of went on and said I was shilling for Lorraine Day, and I don't think that's fair. I know you don't like, I mean, you have some differences with some of Lorraine Day's, what she was saying, but, I think it was referred to the white race.
Yeah, we can compartmentalize and we can focus on what we agree on, you know, in that aspect. I play a lot of Steven Anderson sermons, and there's probably a lot of people that don't agree with everything that he says, but there's some truth in what he says. Just like there was some truth in what Lorraine Day said, in that, you know, I had her on my show and I focused on her overcoming of cancer.
That's right? Miraculous.
A couple of shows that I did a few years ago.
Right.
So we don't have to agree with each other on everything, but we can focus on what we do agree on and move on with that. So,
sure. There's a point I wanted to make. I'm sorry I brought it up, but I lost my train of thought. So.
No, that's cool, man. We got Dan Holden. Do you want to go to Dan?
Yeah.
Let's go to Dan. Maybe you can refocus. Dan in Washington.
Hey, I had a question about air compressors. I got to buy an air compressor, but if you're painting, I had a comment about the juice stuff too, but what would you recommend for an air compressor? Do you use air compressor when you paint, or do you use like the cordless lithium ion battery stuff?
In very few times I've rented an air compressor. That's how irrelevant it is to me. The only time I need an air compressor is when I blow texture on a ceiling. And it's just a basic standard air compressor, with 1500 PSI that can either drive nails or blow texture on a ceiling.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that helps you.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it seems like they're, it's a whole big discussion about it, but they got those little pancake ones that are mostly for nail guns, but they go up to like 120 PSI, maybe 200. I just don't know if I need it or not.
You want to blow texture, I would say 1500 PSI for blowing texture. Because you got to thin the texture down and blow it in a consistent manner on the ceiling. But as far as spray painting, I use Airless. You can get it from Lowe's, and it's about $400. And you plug it into the wall, and it's an electronic motor that takes the paint and blows it, you know, through the gun.
Okay,
Dan. Yeah, Dan. What do you got on the Jews, bro? Let's move on.
I heard a poll that a lot of the evangelical younger ones did not support Israel. So I was wondering if Jeremy saw that coming up in the church community, that the younger evangelicals don't support Israel, or is it pretty much 100%
for Israel? The core in the Baptist faith, especially, the core of your Christian Zionism is in boomers and older Gen Xers. And you're correct that the younger people, because of the advent of the internet, are not Christian Zionists. They're questioning the whole premise of it. They're questioning the whole dispensational theory. And they're seeing, because they were exposed to the internet from their youth, whereas boomers and Gen Xers, you know, we relied on what the church told us, along with the mainstream media.
Were they deliberately targeted for this, though? Like, or are they being maneuvered for this because they want to take out the white race? So they're like getting the younger folks, right? They're younger, more military age folks, possibly even, you know, but to go against the white race.
But these younger people, these younger Generation Z, they're not going for it. They're not going for it at all because they're sort of in rebellion against the Zoomers and the Boomers.
Well, so had they been told, like Billy Graham went around saying how bad racism is, and, you know, you have all these church groups helping out Mexicans build roads and going to Africa, and, it seems like it would come to a moral dilemma for them to say it's okay to kill the Palestinians, but you can't be racist at the same time, you know?
Yeah, but it's a double-edged sword because the younger millennials and the Gen Zers, you know, they've been brainwashed to think that, you know, white people are genociding or are evil against brown people. So they see this Israeli-Palestinian thing as whites in Israel are genociding brown people.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying, are they being maneuvered that way by, you know, the propaganda? Because they're trying to, again, they're trying to
yes.
scapegoat us.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's like what the Jews are doing has backfired. And I think I see that on the left, too. I see, like, Bill Maher. Well, the evangelicals and the left both believe in fake Jewish victimhood. You know, they both come at from it. They've all been taught that Jews are the poor little innocent victim. But I've noticed, like, Bill Maher, and now they got, what's his name, back on The Daily Show, Jon Stewart. So these guys are kind of like, I think, damage control. So the left is not really for Palestine. I mean, some of them are, but they're sure quiet about it, you know what I mean? Compared to, like, Black Lives Matter and stuff like that.
Yeah, they got their own control opposition.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, all right, well.
That's all
Dan,
I had.
We got another caller. We've got. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan, it's good to hear from you.
Thanks.
We got Ken in Texas.
Okay. Yeah, let's bring on Ken. Ken in Texas, welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
All right. Only got a few minutes to go here, so I'll have to try to figure out how to say this. You have a particular group of people that are pitting the three Abrahamic religions against each other, and they know just how to stoke the flames to get everybody at each other's throats. And I should have said air quotes when I said Abrahamic religions, because you have Jews, or the people that call themselves Jews, which are actually not Jews because they're actually Hebrews, but they're indoctrinated so that they don't know that they're not Jews. And then you have Judeo-Christians who don't know that they're not Judeo-Christians. They're air quotes Christians. And then you have Islamists who I won't even touch that one. But the key is, what is the origin and source of the word Jew? Because Jew can mean so many different things. It can mean somebody that's a Hebrew that calls himself a Jew, somebody that's an Israelite that calls himself a Jew. And it could be a contemporary Jew, or it could be an ancient Jew. I mean, it can mean so many different things, right? And so if you look in the Bible at where it has the Jew-Gentile dichotomy, I say that that's a false dichotomy, which then leads to a false paradigm. So the answer to the issue, to get to the air quotes Judeo-Christians, is to ask them a question and find out, you know, what they have to say about where did the Jew-Gentile dichotomy come from. It wasn't in the original autographs of the Bible, all the different Greek and Hebrew versions of the Old and New Testament. All right, it's not there. it came along at a particular point in time. So you have to look at who did that, who caused that to be in the Bible. And there you'll have your answer. But I digress. So we need to ask the Judeo-Christians what their answer to that question is. Who put Jew and Gentile in the Bible? Because Gentile was... Go ahead.
Let me give my take, and I'm going to kick it to you, William, and I won't argue with you. Because we're almost on the same page. So Jew is not originally in the Old or New Testament. It's Judea. When you look at the Old and the New Testament, Judea, that's one tribe of Israel. Israel in the Old Testament were God's people. And they ceased to be God's people when they rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ. In the, you know, when the Bible is translated into English during the Reformation, William Tyndale, John Wycliffe, that became, Judea became Jew. So that's an etymology of the word Judea to Jew. So really what you got is in the New Testament, people that are descendants of Abraham spiritually are those that believe in Christ. That's New Testament. Yeah, that's New Testament doctrine. And so, you know, when Jesus talked against the Jews, he was talking against people that ruled over Israel that may or may not have been Hebrew.
Right.
And we know that. Yeah.
Because we're short on time, we don't. What I'm getting at is it wasn't Tyndale and it wasn't Wycliffe that put the word Jew in there. It was all as a resultant of the Codex Sinaiticus and the whole dispensational thing with, you know, Westcott and Hort and Darby and all of that. That they created that scenario in order to create the dispensational paradigm, which then,
the word Jew was in the King James Bible. But let's get to the crux of the matter. The people today that call themselves Jews, I do not believe. So like Victoria Nuland, Anthony Blinken, and even if you go back, you know, Theodore Herzl of the World Jewish Congress, and even the Rothschilds, I don't believe that these people that say they're Jews, I don't believe they can trace back to Old Testament Israel.
Let me try something in here. Okay, so the comment that came in through here was, best show of 2024, but I don't get why you're shilling for Lorraine Day. She was an operative who spent so much time dismissing who true Israel is. Okay, now look, I believe that the Europeans are God's chosen people, but it isn't because of a racial thing. It's because we adapted Christianity as Paul went up into Europe, and the European people did adapt to Christianity, which was the new covenant under Jesus Christ, or it's a spiritual covenant. The Europeans have largely adapted that, right? That's why we're God's chosen people. So you know, Lorraine Day wouldn't really get into that so much, but you could allude to that. And I had this argument with somebody who, you know, they want to continue to have the old blood covenant like argument and kind of take this blood related covenant, and you know, we're the direct descendants of, you know, and it's a blood thing, it's not a spiritual thing. All right, this is the difference I have with the Christian identitarians, right? So, and I think that's what he's getting at here, who true Israel is. Well, I mean, I think, you know, for someone who listened to Lorraine Day, like all of her Bible studies that she did, it's kind of upsetting when people come in and say she's an operative and spent somewhat dismissing true Israel. No, the way she explained it, she wasn't dismissing that, you know, Europeans have done what I've said here, right? And she would stick up for white people a lot, you know, and so talk about what they were doing. So, yeah, go ahead.
I have many disagreements with Dr. Lorraine Day, and unfortunately, I never got to talk to her about them. But The point I'm trying to get at is that I'm trying to present a solution to bringing the Judeo-Christians out of their Stockholm syndrome, which you can't confront them because it just drives them further into the situation. By presenting that question, it causes them to look into it for themselves. You know, they have to be able
hopefully
to answer.
Well, Ken, Ken, leave your information with Mike, if you don't mind, before you go, like your email. And I want to set up a call with you to discuss, go in depth on it.
Sure, we'll be glad to do that. And thank you all very much for being so open and having these discussions. It's completely awesome.
Right on.
Thanks a lot, William, and callers. Tune in to the Punch Bowl tomorrow night.
Yeah, thank you.
With William's Punch Bowl.
All right. Matt.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.